Our scripture for the morning has been selected from the New Testament. It's Matthew is the book. The chapter is 25 and the verse is 15. It reads as follows. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, to the other one, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. So in the reading of the morning that has been selected, as usual, God always add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his words.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. Did you notice the Bradford pear blossoms had little coats on this morning? At least my boxwoods didn't smell this morning, as they did last week after the rain. We look around us, every one of us is different. There's not a single soul sitting in this room who's exactly alike. We each have our own quirks. We each have our own abilities. We each have our own strong points. And each of us have our own responsibilities, some great, some small. We know that as Christians that we are to keep our promises, that we are to pay our debts, that we are to be kind and courteous to all, not just those we love. And in every congregation, we have members that have their work to do. All of us, really, in one degree or another, as James had pointed out. According to the abilities. Our scripture reading is from the beginning of the parable of the talents. And here it shows the importance, or at least Christ is showing us the importance of using the gifts that we've been given. Different abilities bring about different responsibilities. But we have to be careful when we look at these things because, so I was going over this morning, I kind of went back down memory lane about 3 years ago when Kaylin started soccer. It was something to behold. Katie had to pretty much carry her around and kick the ball for her. And watching her grow as she plays today is a lot different. You know, we take a lot of time to improve the skills that we have, worldly skills. 1970, I started my career as a firefighter. And in 1970, I couldn't tell you which end of the hose the water come out of. You know, water goes in one side and comes out the other. But you can't switch it around. And I went from a hook and a ladder and a bugle on my helmet to 5 bugles in 1999. But it didn't come by sitting around. Abilities. Training. A person on an assembly line is responsible for that which is in front of him. His boss is responsible for what is happening on that assembly line. And the boss's boss is responsible for what is happening throughout the factory. Any one of those individuals do not hold up their responsibility puts work to a halt. See, different abilities result in different responsibilities. We are all responsible for keeping God's commandments. We are to keep them just as they are written in scriptures. In our class this morning, we were talking about parables and we were looking at Matthew 5 and how Jesus had taught them about murder and anger, and how it is alike, but how the Jews had twisted thou shalt not kill into something totally different. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, the scripture says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. See, the apostles were given commandments, not to change, not to embellish, but to keep and to teach. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, Luke wrote in here that Peter said in verse 38 that Christ was baptized by John, that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, what did Jesus do with that power? Well, up until that point, his power on this earth was very limited, other than to his knowledge of the scriptures. But Jesus took the power that God gave him through the Holy Ghost and spread his message. And he was able to do that safely for 3 years. He went about doing good. He went about healing all kinds of infirmities. He went and was able to cast out demons. What do the commandments require us to do? It requires us to teach. Now, believe me, I can understand. I can't teach. That's a lot of folks say that. I just can't teach, and I understand that. But we all teach. We all teach, whether we realize it or not. It's there. In Matthew 5:19, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least of the commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. When you follow God's commands, when you are the example that you need to be, when you are growing in the Word, you are teaching. You know, Jackie had, a couple of weeks ago, was saying that she didn't know how to teach other people. If you go to Westminster House, you go over there, you'll see spiritual swords down the hallway. You will see house to house, heart to heart, house to house, all down the hallway on the little stands where there's benches outside where people can sit and pull them up to read. But if you go in there and you mention Jackie's name or you even mention Matt, there is not a cross word that can be said. She's taught. Whether we realize it or not, we're teaching. The examples that we set. We all have the abilities to teach. Parents, you teach your children, don't you? You teach them right from wrong. You teach them how to feed themselves. You teach them how to go to the bathroom themselves. You teach. You don't have to have a degree behind your name in order to teach. You don't have to be a scholar of the Bible to teach, just a doer. Well, some have the ability to teach Bible classes and conduct Bible studies. We all have the ability to teach our children, to teach our neighbors through the example that we set. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, and woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is upon us all if we do not lead the examples that we should have within the scriptures themselves and in our calling. When we profess to be a Christian and we're out there day to day and we're getting in arguments with people or we are constantly bad-mouthing other people, the example that we set is not the example that needs to be set. And people see that. Paul accepted this fact, that he had to teach. Now, what was Paul's life up to that point? Persecution. There wasn't a lot of teaching on Paul's part. Paul just got up his men together and they went out and grabbed up some Christians and beat them and tortured them. And now he was put and thrust into the limelight. Now, Paul was knowledgeable. He knew the scriptures. And it took that road to Damascus to open his eyes. And he spent his life teaching. Our doing and teaching is threefold. We are responsible to ourselves. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, Paul said, "Save yourselves." Peter said that, and Paul said, expounded on this in Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." He spoke this to the Ephesian elders. They had a responsibility also for others. We are not responsible only to ourselves, but also to our neighbors. In Matthew 7, verse 12, Jesus is talking about the golden rule. And this is the rule of doing. It's not just a rule that we like to just quote when it's convenient, but it is an active rule that we have to try to remember and keep ourselves and place ourselves in other people's shoes sometimes. In Matthew 22 and verse 36, when Jesus was asked by one of the Pharisees, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Christ said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy mind." And then he added to that commandment, "To love thy neighbor as thyself." We have a very distinct responsibility to God. And after being made in his image, don't you think that we should take that responsibility seriously? Matthew 22:36 tells us that we are to love God. Matthew 6, verse 33 tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And why do we need to do that? So we may be able to receive the promises that come with righteousness. Our responsibilities here in the Lord's church is guided by our individual abilities. We have some great song leaders here, and we have men who pray powerful prayers. We have our ladies who can teach our children abilities, those who are spreading their wings. We have men who ably serve in the various offices that we have here. John the Baptizer realized in Mark 1 and verse 8 of his limited responsibility. When he was preaching the coming of Christ, he told everyone around them that "I indeed baptize with water. But there's one coming that will baptize with the Holy Ghost." His responsibilities was very limited on this earth. He was the bugler. He was the trumpeter. He was sounding and paving a way for Christ to come. And he knew where his ability led. Now, if we go back into Matthew 25 and verse 15, and we look back at the parable of the talents, we read of the responsibility based on abilities of those who receive the talents. Now, if you notice in these, kind of maybe not right there in bold black and white, that we have to prepare ourselves. You know, while we are given the abilities there of these three, only two that made use of the abilities and actually did those things. In verse 47 of Luke 12, it says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Disobedience. What should have that one talent man have done with his talent? If he just had taken the time to double it, he would have been blessed. When we sit on our hands in the Lord's church and we subdue our talents, we are being disobedient. Paul in Romans 14, verse 12 says that we have to give an account to God for that. And how will we do that? What excuse can we fall back on? The one thing about the judgment seat is it's not the complaint department, that we'll not be able to complain about others holding us back, that God will not accept those things. Look in Acts chapter 11 and verse 28. It mentions a man named Agabus. He was a man who had some prophetic powers, and he prophesied about a drought, a famine that was going to come to pass during the reign of Caesar. And you look in verse 29 about what the brethren at Antioch did. Now the Bible says that they built up their own food so that they would be sufficient when the drought came and nobody else, and they wouldn't starve. No, it says that they gave, that they saw the need, that they wanted the help, that they sent relief to the brethren in Jerusalem. It would have been easy to stockpile everything you have, to go and put another building out back and to start stockpiling the canned goods and the grain so that you'll have plenty to eat during the drought. But that wasn't what they were doing. They had the talents, they had the means, and they were going to be able to help out those. They saw the need. They wanted to help. We all see the need. We all see it. It's hard to miss the need. And we need to be able to want to help. Now, some may have only been able to give a little. Some probably were able to give a lot. The thing was, they all gave. They all gave. And they gave according to their ability. You know, we often use, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first two verses about our giving. But if you sit down and you really look at those two verses, it is a command. It is, as we have prospered, as our abilities increase, so do our responsibilities. It is our responsibility to keep away from sin. You know, growing up, and it was one of those things that always stuck in the back of my mind, even after I was baptized, about infants being baptized and the purpose for it. And the only reason I was ever given growing up was because of the original sin. And it took me a while to realize, wait a minute. There's scripture contrary to what they're teaching. With all confidence, I can stand here to say that I will not be held accountable for your sins, and you will not be held accountable for my sins. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 19, it says that the son, whose father lived an evil life, is not accountable for the father. And likewise, the same for the son. Second Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, it tells us that when we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive either a reward or punishment. And as we grow in the knowledge, we have the ability to resist the things that destroy us. As we physically grow, our abilities increase just through nature. I mentioned before about teaching children to eat. When they get to that age, they can feed themselves. You hide the cookie jar. And no matter, it seems like, how high you put it up, they will find a way to get that cookie. I like the commercial. I haven't seen it in a long time, so they must have figured out another way, of the Hawaiian bread. And the mother keeps going out there and she gets another pack of bread and she puts it up and she opens up, it's gone. And every time she does that, she's hiding it higher and higher. And she comes down one morning and there is her little baby in a sling. It swung over and got the bread out and was eating the bread and the dog holding the rope. Our children, and as we grow, we learn and our abilities increase. We know exactly at times what we need to do. Sometimes we don't do it right the first time, but Edison wasn't right the first time either. Neither was Robert Goddard. His first rocket kind of ended in a disaster. Our children learn to dress themselves. They learn to feed themselves. As we go to school, our abilities are further increased. We are responsible to study on our own. Supposed to. I remember Katie and Vince would always come home with school projects due the next day. But it was something they knew at the beginning of the semester. And I'd be scrambling. That's when I said, God bless you for the 24-hour Walmart store. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 52, the children of Israel were responsible to pitch their own tents. Everyone that had a family was responsible for his own dwelling. Every man by his own standard. In 2 Samuel 12, we find here where Nathan had confronted David with his sin against Uriah and his adultery. Everything that David did was his responsibility. While God forgave David of his sin, he did not go away unpunished. Because see, it was David's responsibility to act prudently, and he failed. And we all have that same responsibility. I'd like to direct your attention to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Paul wrote here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When we are missing a body part, we have to compensate. Oftentimes when people have had to have their thumbs amputated for whatever reason or lost a thumb, they would take a big toe and make a thumb out of a big toe because of the importance of grasping things. But it still leaves us handicapped. When I think back at Jim Coward, how much physical therapy the first time he had a toe amputated just to learn to walk without a big toe. It is so much responsible for balance. When we look at the Lord's body as a body, a human body, if all the members of that body are not working together as it should, we become off-balanced. And it takes an awful lot of physical therapy, spiritual therapy, to get it back in balance. We obtain life from the head. We have the responsibility to work in His place and in harmony with one another. When we do things together, the body grows. It gets stronger. It gets healthier. And we also have more time for our own goals in life because not one person is sheltered with all the responsibility. You know, last week we talked about the 10 virgins, last evening, Matthew 25. The wise were the responsible ones. They were prepared. They were ready at a moment's notice for the bridegroom to come. The foolish didn't take their responsibility serious. They were lacking. Sometimes it's always hard to be 100% prepared 100% of the time, but that is what we need to be. 100% prepared 100% of the time. Only 5 were accepted. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus had removed the unclean spirits from the man that the Bible says was known as Legion. How did this man respond to his miracle that restored him? In verse 18, he asked Jesus if he could stay with him. But Jesus, in verse 19, told him to go home to his friends. And don't say a word to anybody about what I did. No, Jesus said, go tell your friends what happened. Christ gave him a task to do. And in verse 20, it says that he left and did as he was told. But what happened? Did they scoff him? Did they call him a liar? No, it said that the people, all men, did marvel at this. They all knew exactly what this man had been capable of and what he was doing. And here was a different person. In John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loved him. I can't put myself in Christ's shoes. But if I were Christ at that time and it come to this point of asking Peter, do you love me? I'd have to think back of that day before I was hung out to dry on that cross. When a man who's I'm fixing to ask if he loves me had denied me 3 times. But Peter was given the responsibility to follow Christ. And Peter did that. There were still some rough moments of what he was taught until things were revealed more to him. It was Peter who stood in front of that multitude and taught the multitude that first sermon. It was Peter that we can go back and look through all the scriptures where Peter is typically taken the responsibility of being the spokesman for the rest of the disciples. We can see a great example of that in Matthew 16. But each one of us is given varying degrees of ability. And with that ability comes a responsibility to use it. Not to put it under the pillow. Not to put it under the mattress. As we learn and grow together, our abilities will improve. Sometimes we need to peel off that protective shield around us and come out of our comfort zone and take that step. I always like to say when I was taking swimming lessons, the only way I could get off a diving board was to run and jump. And I knew there was no way once I was in the air I can get back because my mom did not give me wings. So it was either swim or sink. But it wasn't until I took a run off that end that I learned to improve. We can fill an auditorium if we want to entertain. Or we can fill an auditorium if we want to get to work. There are people out there who are seeking the truth. There are probably those that we know are frustrated from where they're at in their lives. Sometimes just opening up God's Word with them. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. But you were converted at one time too. And you have the ability and the means within you to do the same. Even if it's a matter of taking someone with you with more experience so that you can learn. What is your abilities today? What is there for you to give? If you sit back and take a good account, you probably can say an awful lot. You're kind. You're good-hearted. You're sincere. All of you are. And those allows us to get feet in the doors of the hearts of others. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. God gave you the ability to read, to understand words, and to converse with one another. You're here knowing that the Bible is true. Believe it. Have faith in it. And obey. Obey God's word. If you desire to put on Christ this morning in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity this morning to be able to repent, to change your life, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. If you are a Christian and you've not been doing as you should, let it be known that the blood of Christ continually cleanses. We only need to go to Him in prayer with a penitent heart, and He is, as He's promised to forgive us. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?